anniversary. 17 full years in the books. I walked out my garage at about 4 o'clock today and heard the crunch of leaves under my feet, just like I remembered it 17 years ago. We walked out to that driveway and jumped into an old junky Ford pickup truck and went down to Stuartsville Elementary School and set up church for the first time, and Westbridge came to life. And we are so excited and thankful and truly grateful that Jesus has brought us here after 17 full years. And we want to celebrate that with you tonight. So hold on to your hats. We are looking for a great time tonight of learning, but also celebrating what God's doing and asking Him to show us what He wants us to do as we move forward. I'm going to ask that you would pray with me, and then we'll begin our service. Lord, I want to thank you for tonight. I want to thank you for the way you continue to lead us on, and I thank you for the way you have touched lives in such a powerful way over the past 17 years. And Lord, I pray that it would just be the beginning, that we would still see you moving, we would still see you taking us where you want us to go, and that we would be in sync with you, that we would follow you and the where you want us to go, the way you want us to go. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to keep your hand upon us tonight as we celebrate what you have done. That we are still nobodies, Lord, but we are telling the whole world about the most incredible somebody who ever breathed the air we breathe. We pray that you keep your hand upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to hand it right off to our worship leader, Miss Kelly.
We are going
to be thanking God for what he has done for us, which you are already seeing, that he came into our lives and he rescued us from where we were. It wasn't a trick. It wasn't a game. It was a real thing. He came into our life and he changed it. When we confessed our sins to him, he died on the cross to forgive our sins, and we place our faith in him to make that happen. He then sends his spirit inside of us. It's a new guide. It's the new counselor who leads us through life to the full. And we want to thank him for that. But we also want to throw the doors open to say there are more. There are more needing rescue. There are more who need to find him, and we are here to help with that as well. We pray that tonight would be a night where we continue to thank him for what he's done and help him to show us how to move forward in a way that we would advance his kingdom and put a smile on his face. You may be seated. Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here today, and I pray that you take the night and make it what you want it to be. Thank you for what you have done in the lives of those that you have changed. I pray that you would continue to change people's lives. Let them see that there's something that there's missing. There's a hole in their heart, and it's a God-shaped hole that only you can fill, Jesus. I pray that they would continue to see that tonight, that they would find what all the excitement is about as we stand here 17 years later saying, we made a good choice when we chose to accept you. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Miss Kelly, what's going on at Westbridge this week? Now, love for you to have that so you can take notes and kind of jot down any ideas that God is bringing to your heart and to your mind. And we'd love for you to take notes along as we put up the information on the side screen for you. You know, in the winter of 2001 and 2002, that winter, we were all still recovering from the attack on the Twin Towers in the city of New York. I remember at that time hearing a commentator or a politician, I'm not sure who it was, but they said this phrase. They said, life as we have known it will never be the same. I found that to be a very bold statement and a bit presumptuous statement, but I'll tell you what, you take a flight today at any airport, and you will see that that commentator was correct. Life as we knew it really has never been the same again since then. But what also changed in the months that followed the fall of the towers was that a dream of a place of hope, was born. And an initiative called Westbridge was birthed. As far as the vast world would be concerned, this enterprise was nothing significant. But for the kingdom of God, and for the lives who would actually embrace it, life as we have known it will never be the same again. Where 9/11 brought negative changes, the little church that could brought positive changes, reaffirming Paul's words that God can bring good out of bad. Tonight, I want to take off my Westbridge backpack, the one that I put on 17 years ago, and that is 17 years ago this very night, October 19th. And I want to look at what God has placed inside that backpack, mine and many others, over the last 17 years. I'd like to do this because Westbridge, when it started, we had a lot of ambition and we had a lot of hopefulness, but we really didn't know what in the world God would do. So tonight, let's look and see what God did do and what he put inside of each of our backpacks. Let's see what God said to so many people over those 17 years that has brought about such change in their lives. And let's see why the life in front of us is viewed and lived so differently than when we first took that risk and tried church on a Saturday night. A risk leading to life as we have known it, never being the same again. In preparation for this, I looked into the backpack of a lot of West Virginians. They say that hindsight is 20/20, and as I now look back at God's carried out game plan, I see his strategy. I see God's strategy was to show each of us that things can be better. Better than where we are at, better than we had believed they could be, better than all the life that we have lived till now. In each backpack that I looked into, I found really three major items, all giving hope for a better tomorrow. So for me, I added a little souvenir, kind of a little tool to help remind me and trigger that hope and that truth that God has given me. And I must say that these items are just as fresh and just as wonderful today as the promise that they represent that went into my backpack. So on this happy anniversary, I would like to look back and remember. The first gift from God has to do with this mirror. God started my better tomorrow with how I see myself. You see, the audacious and yet wonderful hope God handed to many of us that we still carry in our backpack, even if it's broken. And it's not! The hope we carry is this. You can be better. Allow me to explain. Westbridge, there is a reason why the New York Times bestseller of all time book list is strewn with self-help books. Books like The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, The Alchemist, The Power of Now, Think and Grow, As a Man Thinketh, The Search for Meaning, Awaken the Giant, and The Power of Positive Thinking. In fact, a recent study by the UK Optimism Audit found that 7 out of 10 people are not happy with themselves, and they long for a change. When they look into the mirror or into their heart, they want to be better. They want to be happier. They want to be thinner. They want to be free from guilt. They want to be more useful. They want to be more capable, more beautiful, more accepting with who they are, and more comfortable in their own skin. The truth is, a lot of us, we can't even verbalize our hope and longing to be better. We just move through each day with ideas in our head about ourselves, and those critical beliefs just drag us down. I had my oppressive mirror. For me, I picked up a belief in my mind that came out in my reflection that I wasn't smart. Now, my oldest brother, he's smart. He's smart. He was always on super honor roll. But me, when I looked in the mirror, I saw more of a ditch digger kind of intelligence. Where did I pick up the reflection, or where did I pick up those beliefs in my mind about my intelligence? Oh, let me tell you, it's from a myriad of places. Any difficult subject at school whispered to me that I was stupid. Any inability to master the things my friends could master reverberated that lie. Any negative phrase or any put down just confirmed it. You name it, the discouraging sources for all of us are as varied and diverse as snowflakes. Snowflakes, though, that eventually become catastrophic avalanches. But friend, God knows that those daggers and those stinging barbs, that they go into us and they leave a poison. They leave a poison in our beliefs that we can't shake. A poison that causes us to simply wish we were a better self. Well, for 17 years, God has seen people walk into this group on Saturday nights, and he has given them something incredible for their life's backpack. He gave them the hope, you can get better. He has changed the reflection in their mirror. God has offered them, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, where he says, put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. God puts his arms around you, and as gentle as a dove, he starts tranquilizing that poison and changing what we see in the mirror. This good, good father says, you have been subjected to a lot of lies. I have a new image, a new self for you. And it's all built on my truth, God says. God opened our backpacks wide, and he filled us with new information about ourselves. Stuff we had never heard before. God put Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24 in our backpacks that says this, let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. It says you were created to be like God. We will be co-heirs with his Son. And for 17 years, what we found is that it really doesn't take long. It doesn't take a long time for God to deliver on this hope of us being better than we have been. He does it in an instant when we allow him access to our hearts, when we allow him access to our minds and access to our life's backpack. In that instant, Psalm 103 says, he wraps you in goodness, eternal beauty. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. You know, this mirror once showed me my inadequacies and my failure. But I kept it because now I see something else in it. Now I see the image of what God sees in me. If I was to describe what I see, it's a kind of a mix between Thor, Captain Kirk, and maybe a little John Goodman for some comic relief. Westbridge, we gather here tonight as seekers and as finders of a desire and a yearning to be a better you. And for those with this gift in our backpack, Life as we have known it has never been the same. The second item that God has placed in all his followers' backpack is a hope that life can get better. I believe Westbridge has truly taken on God's example, what he modeled in the Bible, of being honest and real. God is as honest and as real as you get in the Bible. And we do the same thing. We made that our normal atmosphere. Our motto in the beginning was, come as you are. Now, what that really meant was, don't put on any pretense. Don't be fake. Don't be afraid to say when something hurts. And don't be afraid to say when something's not working in your life. Here's the deal. You messed up. I messed up too. We all messed up. We want visitors to know you cannot scare us off with your past. And we would much rather deal with the truth and get right down to fixing it than waste our time running down rabbit trails that you were never really on anyway. You're not shocking any of us when you tell us life is hard. In fact, we could probably shock you if you knew how hard some of the people's lives are who are standing right up here playing music. But God opened up our backpack and he placed a hope in there that says, life can get better. Heartache, regret, financial hardship, depression, divorce, illness, disappointment, failure, and heartbreak, well, they fill the roads. They fill the roads of pilgrims coming to Jesus Christ. Westbridge has seen almost every kind of life-weary pilgrim come through the doors. And with each one, God enters with them and gives them a hope that life can get better. Jesus unzipped your backpack and inserted this hope from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. God says to you and me, you've been doing this on your own for far too long. Not only do you carry more than you're capable of, you turned off the road you were supposed to be on. In fact, you took a lot of wrong turns, and that led you to have to deal with stuff that you were never supposed to deal with by yourself. And without me, you didn't have the tools to fix it correctly. No wonder you're weary. No wonder you're heavy burdened. God says, child, let me put you on the right road. You'll see, life can get better. So God puts hope in our backpacks from Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, and promises a new roadmap for our lives. Here's what he wrote. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. From the Contemporary English Version, it says, a good road will be there, and it will be named God's sacred highway. It will be for God's people. No one unfit to worship God will walk on that road. No fools can travel on that highway. To access God's hope, that life can get better. For me, two souvenirs. The first, I have a map. A map that shows me the way to that incredible new life road that God promises in Isaiah chapter 35. With the map, really God's word, the Bible, I am instructed on where I am to walk and how I am supposed to make that walk. But there's a second item, and it's equally as important, all for this second hope of life getting better. The second item that I have to have with that map is an item that many forget about and find far too cumbersome, far too heavy to bring along. But I bring mine. Here's mine. There you go. It's a tool. It's a tool, and it's used to fix what's broken in our lives. You see, how it works is this. If this falls, basically you're dead, Catherine, okay? Just so you know, if this falls, dead. So, you know, trust God. Okay. Years of this. Here's how it works. God shows us where we went wrong. He'll show you on that road. As you're traveling on that map, he's going to show you where you went wrong, where things got broken. And he stops us. God does this. Shows you the rope, stops us, and he points. He says, right there, right there. Maybe it was something we said to someone. Maybe a responsibility we walked away from. Maybe a hurt that we inflicted on someone. Maybe a bad decision or a choice in our relationships or our vocation or our finances. God shows it to us, but then he hands us the tool to fix it. It's a tool that is powered by his Holy Spirit. But that's as far as God goes. He hands the tool to us that can get the job done, but he requires you and me to wield the tool. And friends, we must not get put off by the size and the effort needed to wield the repairing tool. Pilgrim, know this. Life can get better. But we will need to get there by having to go to some people and have a big, heavy conversation. Life can get better, but you will have to take the time to rewire your attitudes, to rewire your habits. Pilgrim, life can be better, but we must change what God shows us doesn't work. He will give us the instructions. He will give us the tool. But life will change for the better only when we turn that wrench, no matter how scary and no matter how difficult or how much effort it's going to take. As I thought back over the last 17 years here, I smile with delight as so many, have embraced God's gift. They have followed his map. And I have seen them wield some pretty large tools of the Spirit to get things better. And life as they have known it has never been the same. So we have two incredible hopes. You can get better. Life can be better. And a third and final item God used profoundly to make people's lives better here was a huge dose of truth. No holds barred, no shying away, no apologizing for it, no two ways about it, no wishy-washiness at all in this truth. And the truth is this: Jesus is better. God made it abundantly clear that the way to better is only through Jesus Christ, God's Son. It's not about finding helpful life skills. It's not about finding and calling yourself a certain religion. It's not about finding a good small group. It's not about adopting a moral compass or attending a nice church. Jesus Christ is better than any religious leader. Jesus Christ is better than any organization. He is better than any feeling, any healing, any dealing, any stealing, any revealing that anyone promises you that will make your life better. God says emphatically, Jesus, only Jesus has the power to save. His name is the only one in all the world that can save anyone. People are going to try to add to it, bring in others. That's the way it is. No, Jesus, God never shied back from this. Let that truth, that only Jesus has the power to save, let that truth penetrate you as you listen to this. Jesus is better. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, when it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. And as for life here on earth and our life for all eternity, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's confirming God's gift. Jesus is better. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 shouts at us, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And oh, standing here at the end of 17 years, what a life it is. So much better, the life he has given, than anything we could ask or think. Allow me to show you what better looks like. As for the vast world, God showing up here at Westbridge Community Church on a Saturday nights was nothing significant. But for those who put on a backpack and filled it with God's hopes, hope that they could be better, hope that life could be better, and the truth that Jesus is better, well, they proved correct the words, life as we have known it will never be the same again. Where 9/11 brought negative changes, the little church that could brought positive ones, reaffirming the Apostle Paul's words that God can bring good out of bad. On this happiest of anniversary soldiers, we have looked back with a heart of overwhelming gratitude in order that we may look forward and trust. Year 18 started tonight. So as the band returns and our worship leaders come back and our prayer team meets on this side, we'd like to take this moment to do some personal inventory. Maybe you have never started a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've heard about him for years and years and years and decades. You've heard about Jesus. You know about him. You've been in churches. But you never have confessed your sin to him. You have never asked him to be the savior of your life. And you have never handed him the steering wheel of your life. If that's the case, God wrote something to you in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out for you. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you'd hoped for. One that's better. Will you bow your heads with me? Friends, you put the backpack on by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. You put the backpack on by confessing with your mouth that he is your Lord. If you want to get better when you look in the mirror, if you want life to be better, and if you believe that Jesus is better, then pray along with me in your hearts. Lord, I understand. I've not been connected with you. My sin has separated us. I confess it to you. I ask you to wash it away with the blood that you shed on the cross. I believe you are God's Son. And I believe that you are the only way to eternal life and rightness with God. Place your Spirit inside me. Let it guide me and be my new counselor. Help me learn. Help me grow. But Lord, I pray that you would change me now through the power of your Spirit. Amen. As the band plays, I'm going to ask Jack and Maggie to come forward. We can make two lines. We want to give you something. We want you to have something to remember tonight. Maybe you'll fill yours with mementos that are different than mine. But either way, we want you to have a Westbridge backpack. So as the band plays and we begin worship, come down front, see Jack, see Maggie. Let's worship together. Lord, I want to thank you and wish you one more happy anniversary. Thank you for keeping us afloat. Thank you for changing lives. Thank you for bringing from the ashes of two towers that went down. Thank you for raising up a bridge. Lord, I pray that you continue to let it be something that fuels your kingdom. Let each one of these people, Lord, in their backpack go out into the world and let their light shine. Let them live a life that is so attractive to the people who don't know you that they say, I gotta have what you have. And then we can tell them, you can get better. Life can be better. But it's all because Jesus is better. And Lord, I do pray that we have put a smile on your face tonight, and I thank you for what you've done for us, but we are not done. And I pray that you'd help us move forward in the spirit that is humble and a spirit that is tenacious to want to change people's lives and rescue them from being lost and put them in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for all you've done. Lead us on. You send the wave. We promise we will ride it. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.